y'all say amen?
Amen.
If you don't understand what they just said, we are what we are because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he doesn't judge us for who we are?
Amen.
But aren't you glad he sees us for who we can become? And we are what we are today, not because of who we are and who our last name, what our last name may be. We are what we are today because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank goodness. Thank you, ladies, for singing. Thank you for our ladies' choir. You did a wonderful job. Thanks to Sibby for leading us today. In the process of doing this and thinking about focus on WMU, you have an opportunity to hear me all the time and listen to that. But I wanted for you to hear a couple of our ladies and to share a testimony, remind you what God's doing. Sometimes we fail to realize what all God is doing. But can I tell you today, God sure is busy, and he sure is doing some good things.
Amen, brother.
And I had asked Bonnie, would she come? Now, this is not her cup of tea to get up here in front of folks, but you know, and we've watched to see what the Lord has done in their life. And so Brother Jimmy was down, and God just been there in so many ways. And so Bonnie's going to come and share some things that's on her heart and remind you that God does answer prayer and God does touch in special ways.
Amen.
Amen.
This is not my cup of tea. When he asked me to do this, I said, preacher, I don't like to stand up there and talk, so it's going to be real short. And he said, well, I know you don't like to do that, but okay. And he said, Lord, lay you on my heart, and I think you need to. And I said, well, I'll do it. But, in thinking about what to say, I don't really know that I need to say anything. If you want to know that the Lord's good, we walk in this building every Sunday.
Amen.
And we're not in a wheelchair anymore. We're not using crutches or a walking cane. It's been 3.5 months. We thank everybody here for prayer. There was a lot of prayer and a lot of things that people did. We'll never know. We'll never know who they were. We'll never know what they did. The meals, we can't. I mean, our church just stepped up and did it. But when Jimmy first had his accident on November 4th, I got that phone call, that dreaded phone call. And a lady from the hospital said, this is so-and-so, I'm at Raleigh General in Beckley, West Virginia, and I have your husband here. And I said, my first response was, well, duh. I mean, you know, why else would you call me from the hospital in West Virginia? Because that's where my husband was. And after I realized I wasn't going to pass out or throw up, I said, Lord, you got to help me. And first thing that came to mind is the Lord told me that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that he would never put more on us than we could bear.
Amen.
And Jamie Carter can tell you that that is what kept me pregnant. Because she rode all the way with me to Charleston, West Virginia that night. And I don't think I shed a tear. I did drive the whole way. And because the Lord told me that we were okay. Didn't tell me if we was going to walk again. Didn't tell me if we was going to be 6 months in a hospital. He just said, you're going to be okay.
Amen.
And I think that alone is a testimony that the Lord is good. There are other things that, you know, I mean, it's been a struggle. It's been hard. It's still hard. There's still struggles. But that's okay, because Jimmy's alive, and I didn't kill him in a wheelchair or anything like that. And we've learned through our struggles. And I think that God puts things in our path to teach us things, teaches us humility, teaches us to be patient, teaches us to turn to people, and teaches us who we can turn to. We've always loved our church. We have a deeper love for our church and the people within our church. Because of the things that we went through and that we overcome through the prayer and through the support that our friends, our family, and our church family gave us. And from the bottom of our heart, we say thank you. But the Lord is good. Anytime a struggle or a challenge is put in front of you, try to learn from it. Try to grow through it. There's a reason. You don't always know the reason. You don't always know the reason right then. Sometimes you know it later. Sometimes you never know it. But but we do, you know, sometimes it's just to make us slow down. And that was one of the first things I told Jenny, is I said, you know, we lead very busy lives. And I said, God slowed us down. He brought us to a screeching halt. Changed life as we knew it for the moment. We were talking last night about how far we've come in 3 months. It's amazing. It blows our minds. The doctors are surprised. We're surprised. Everybody's surprised. But God really did bring us to a halt. He slowed our lives down for us. And I know we're not the only ones in this building who can testify to that. And sometimes you just need to stop and smell the roses and thank the Lord for what He does for you. Because everybody here can stand up here and say something the Lord has done for them in the last week or in the last month or in the last year. Because we get up and we walk and we breathe every day. And that in itself is a blessing. Like I said, continue to pray for us. We do, you know, have a little bit of road to go. And it's okay. And with other family struggles, daddy's sick. But there again, the Lord's good. He's given me my daddy for 81 years. And I'm thankful for that, for all 81. So I appreciate it, preacher. Thank you.
Thank you. We can see, you know, you see people and you hear people, but we can see many times what God's doing in somebody's life, and we can see that in the Bible. Les is going to share her testimony. Let me say this. I don't think she minds me saying this. If the Lord would save Leslie, the Lord would save anybody. Am I right, Leslie?
Yes.
Leslie's got a testimony pretty much like me. But been there and done that, but stands here today forgiven by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she's going to share with you what the Lord's done in her life. And Brock, she told me, she said, I'm going to leave some of the gory details out of my life. But aren't you glad that with the Lord, there's no longer any gory details? Everything's in my story. And so she's going to share on that point of view of how the Lord saves. Let's listen.
I speak for a living as a college professor. I lecture every day. This is different. This is not about what I know. This is about me. So, good morning. My name is Leslie, and I'm a sinner. Once upon a time, a little girl, an only child from Charlotte, North Carolina, grew up in a home without God. Full of the world, though. Lots of parties, pretty clothes, music lessons, art lessons. Both parents were well-educated career people, originally from New York. My dad was a banker. My mom was an insurance person. Dad played violin, clarinet, mandolin. Mom wrote poetry, short stories. Me? Well, I was raised by Grandma, who lived with us. Spent lots of time alone reading, studying, practicing music, piano, violin, drawing and painting. School was my whole life. I was shy. Didn't have any friends. Wasn't really popular all 12 years of public school. I felt empty. Got a scholarship to Indiana University. Went there. Had a tiff with my parents, though, who decided they didn't want me around anymore, so I ended up being self-supported. To make extra money, I pretended to be 21, wore a lot of makeup, clothing to fit the picture. Played piano in the local hotel piano bar. Got extra money and drinks on the side, too. Didn't see anything wrong with that because my parents drank, so I decided I'd just follow suit. That plus the fraternity parties I went to supplied all the wine and beer and liquor and pot that I needed to make myself feel socially acceptable. I was socially acceptable in the wrong crowd, but I felt
connected. From time to time, I even went to church once in a while with some of the girls in the dorm. Went to a temple with my Jewish friend, talked to the rabbi, talked to priests and some of the Catholic churches I went to. See, in Indiana, most people where I went were either Jewish or Catholic. There were some Protestants, but not very many. But I went to all the churches I could find. I guess you could call me a spiritual vagabond, a bum, going from one place to another. Then I thought, well, maybe philosophy and world religion will teach me something I need to know. I had questions about God, but nobody really wanted to answer them. So I thought, I'll just dig for myself. So I took a few courses in world religions, thinking the answers might be there. Also had a great head knowledge of God and of the Bible. Searched and searched and searched for something. Wasn't quite sure what it was. Then I got into some New Age stuff along the way. That's not good. No matter how bad you get, you don't want to go there. I dabbled with astrology. I Ching, which is Chinese fortune telling, tarot cards. Yes, I even dabbled in Wicca, pagan religion, if you could call it that, not realizing at the time what that was really all about. I got into some disastrous relationships with men, one after another. I think I really know what the woman at the well felt like before she met Jesus. That was me. I was as dry as a desert full of bones. I felt empty. Religions didn't help. Men didn't help. Music even wasn't getting it for me anymore. All it did was pay my bills, which felt done away. But the pills, the pot, and the booze weren't doing me any good either. I became a shell of a person. I was empty. My life was falling around me, my ears, and there was a void in my heart and in my soul, and I didn't know why. Well, between escapades into oblivion, I was somehow able to earn a master's degree, continued teaching music, went back home to Charlotte to accept a teaching position. I met a great man from Anderson, and we became friends, and we married. It'll be 30 years this March. I guess that certainly was a high point in my life after all I've been through. And yes, he knew about it. He had some issues himself, so I guess sometimes birds of a feather really do flock together. A year after our daughter was born, we moved from Charlotte to Anderson, and I went to a Catholic church there where I was music director for 3 years. Things seemed a little bit better in my life, but I still only had a head knowledge of God and of the Bible. And I still drank once in a while. Got rid of the booze, the really hard stuff, and got rid of the pot, but I still had some problems. Finished my doctorate at UGA in 1993 after many commutes and 5 years of study. Thought that's what I needed to do with my life. You see, every time I got myself in a mess, I buried myself in my work and took more classes. I thought that was the answer. Maybe I just didn't know enough. But knowing enough wasn't what it was all about. I just didn't know that then. During the summer of 94, my daughter was invited to attend Bible school at Mount Bethel Baptist Church, which was 5 minutes from our house. Well, I'd never known about it. She came home the third night of Bible school and she told me that she'd gotten saved. I asked her what that meant. So what are you talking about, got saved? And she told me, she says, well, I prayed a sinner's prayer and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I said, really? She said, yes. And I said, well, would you rather go to Mount Bethel instead of the Catholic Church? And she said, yes. I said, okay. So I nonchalantly went a couple of Sundays with her. And on the third Sunday night, Lambert Rice was preaching. The message was for me. You know what it was? Are you dissatisfied with your life? If so, Jesus can change that. The invitation him was, it was room at the cross for you. And I said, there's no room at Jesus' cross for me after what I've done. He doesn't want me around. I shouldn't even be in his building. So I began to cry. As we were singing, I felt a little tug in my sleeve. I looked around, there wasn't anybody that close to me, so I thought, okay, well, maybe somebody just walked into me. Start with the second verse. I felt it again. I said, okay, this is getting weird now. Well, I don't know if it was an angel or something spiritual, but something told me, somebody told me to go down to that altar. So I can't go down there. Those people already know something about me, but they know that I really don't belong here. Before it's too late, and that scared me a little bit, so I went down to the altar. You know, I don't even really remember walking there. I almost think I floated down to the altar. I don't remember even walking down there. I just remember that I was suddenly there. I prayed the sinner's prayer. It was melted there. I asked Jesus to take control of the shambles that I had made of my life. I told him that I loved him, that I believed in him. But if he could save me, he could save anybody. And I promised him that I would do his work. So on the second week of September in 1994, my daughter and I both went down into the baptismal pool together. That was an experience that, you know what, it was worth it. It was worth not being brought up in a Christian home for to actually go down the baptism with your own child. You know what? When I came up, I felt the old filthy me washing away. I felt it was gone. I couldn't believe that feeling. I don't think I could ever tell you in words what that felt like. Jesus not only came into my life, he became my life. He took the tastes of the world away. Drinking didn't interest me anymore. I could have cared less. The emptiness was finally filled. I was no longer empty. I was full. I knew then that it was Jesus that had been missing in my life. Nothing else, just him. I asked him to do what he wanted to do with me, and you know what? He has worked so many miracles in my life. I went on to become a music director in Mount Bethel for 11 years before I came here. And God granted me the desire of my heart 14 years ago by giving me a wonderful position at Emmanuel College, a Christian college. I said, thank you, God, now I can pray for my students. And you know what? It was worth all that garbage I went through in my life, because now I can minister to my students who might be going through the same garbage I did. Then I prayed the prayer of Jabez and asked him to expand my boundaries and my territories. I wanted more. God, the president said, I want you to become Dean of Arts and Sciences. Have more decision making in our college. I've spoken at convocation since that time. I've given testimonies to my students. Watched many students come to know Christ after having been through the same garbage. Well, I'm not praying the prayer of Jabez over myself any longer. I've sure got plenty to do. My schedule is so full, I can't even get off on Wednesdays until 6 o'clock, which means I get here about 7:45 if I sped. And I regret not being able to do that. But I can't begin to tell you how very important it is for you to submit to Him, to give your heart and life to Him if you haven't. When you discover the real Master's plan, you wonder how you ever lived without Him. He wants to be your Savior and your friend. Amen. He wants to heal you, not just of physical illness, your spiritual illness. He created us with that hole inside because He wants to fill it up. He created us to love Him, to serve Him.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what you've done. I've been drunk so many times I can't begin to count them. I've been high on pot and hash. Don't do it. That's not where it's at.
Amen.
And don't drink your life away. If you can't remember what you've done, you don't need to have done it to start with. You know what? There's no greater high in the world than Jesus Christ.
Hey!
Come to Him and experience the abundant life that He wants to give you. Am I ashamed of my past? Well, I'm not proud of it. But let me tell you something. He took the garbage away and gave me the ability to speak to people who need to hear what I've been through, because I might have been through the same thing. He took the shame away.
Hallelujah.
He has used everything I have been through, everything. I've had students come to me who have had some serious problems. God has shown me how to help them. And His grace is everything. It is absolutely everything. Don't leave here today in a state of confusion. Leave here in a state of grace, knowing that God is here for you. That it doesn't matter where you are now, where you have been. He'll take you where you need to go.
Amen.
Let Him take the steering wheel and you just put your seatbelt on and ride along with Him. He's a good God.
Come on, sister.
And He wants the best for you.
Amen.
So may His grace and peace bless you. Thank you for your time and for listening.
Let's try before we go home or we go to your house for lunch. Let's try to summarize this morning's service. What Sid is trying to do through the music and what he's been saying. We started out talking about His grace is sufficient. We jumped in and done that, had our prayer time, sung grace along, all because of God's amazing grace. He is all I need. The lady stood and sung about the grace and what grace does. Bonnie talked about the grace of God through hard times. And I am so glad that we serve God who doesn't just save us, but is there to help us through those hard times.
Amen, brother.
Evan Leslie talked about where God can bring you from. Aren't you glad that God can take what everybody else says is nothing and make somebody out of it?
Hey.
But let me summarize. We've got about 15 minutes, and I'm not going to let you out early. You know that. But let me summarize what's been said, and let me use the hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And let me define what these ladies have said and what we've said through music. And here it is. Here it is. In a nutshell. In that song, you find everything that grace does. Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me.
Come on, brother.
You know what it is? It's saving grace.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you can be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad it doesn't matter? God doesn't care about your background, and God doesn't care anything about what you've done. God came to save you through His amazing grace. Thank God that one day this old boy standing here experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, the Baptist church had nothing to do with it. Mom and Dad had nothing to do with it. The religious folks down in the church had nothing to do with it. I am so glad that Jesus did it all by Himself. Have you experienced the amazing grace of God? If you've experienced the amazing grace of God, guess what? You know a little bit of what Leslie's talking about. You know a little bit of what Bonnie had to say. You know what they're trying to tell you, and that is that Christ can do it all, and He can be your all.
Amen,
Jesus
brother.
Christ.
Amen.
That's the saving grace. If you drop on down, you remember that we sing this stanza in that old hymn. You know, we've gone through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. You remember that? You know what? He not only gives us saving grace, He gives us sustaining grace. He keeps me every single day. When Brother Jimmy had his accident miles and miles for months, listen, even though at that moment just his friends were there, can I tell you one thing? There was one vital person that was needed there, and who was there? And that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Man.
When you get those kind of phone calls like Bonnie got, it's hard. You know how we make it through those times? With the sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that He didn't save you to put you in the car? Aren't you glad He saved you to stay right with you?
Amen.
All the time. So can I tell you, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your troubles may be. I don't know what the doctor has told you recently. I don't know what your finances look like. It's none of my business. I really don't know. But I will tell you right now, God will sustain you in the midst of your trouble.
Amen.
He'll never run and hide. Nothing's too big for God. I will tell you this, for you remember that verse? All things are possible with God.
Yes. Amen.
That's what they were trying to say. He saves us by His grace. He sustains us by His grace. But then if we jump down to that last stanza that we all love to sing, when we've been there 10,000 years,
amen.
Light shining as
a sun. Amen, brother.
You remember that? You know what He gives to us? Shouting grace.
Amen.
If I knew this was all I was going to ever experience, it'd be awful depressing. But I know there's more out there for me.
Amen.
That the Lord is busy preparing.
Hallelujah.
You read the scripture, I'll tell you what's going on in heaven right now. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's already been interceding for you and me. He's interceding for some of you sitting in this sanctuary today. He's telling His Father to give them one more opportunity. Be patient with them. Prick their heart today. That's what's going on. But in the process of Him sitting at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit being here with us, speaking to us, He is busy preparing a place for us.
Amen.
You know what it said in this verse? Here's what it said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house or what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come get you.
Amen.
No angel is prepared. He's prepared. That's His grace. And one of these days, if Christ tarries and doesn't come for us very soon, which I really believe, and you say, well, preachers all years and years have been saying this, I believe that we're closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than we may think we are.
Amen, brother. Amen.
But if that takes place because of His saving grace and because of His sustaining grace, thank God we'll all be able to shout when we get home to the place that He's prepared for us.
Amen.
It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's not a mom and dad thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's not a Southern Baptist thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's not a Cedar Grove thing. It's a Jesus thing. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
He can save us right where we are and make us a somebody.